Hello, and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show. With Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And listeners, you are in for a treat tonight. We have two guests on tonight, and the first one I am simply going to be referring to as guest, in the interest of keeping her identity kind of low-key. And we've got some information that may be very shocking for you, but it's the truth, and it needs to come out. And when she is done speaking, then we'll have another guest on, Scotty Littlestar, who you've heard before, who is a psychic, and she will be taking callers. And we have some important information for people, things we can do to help the planet, on February 14th. So, without further ado, let me just say that, let's see, what's appropriate? Just because you think people are out to get you doesn't mean that they aren't, which is one of my favorite sayings. So welcome, my guest. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I'm very, very happy to have you on the show tonight. As we've discussed a few times, there are some things going on with mind control that are truly terrifying, and it's being done by our government. And, you know, there's a lot of us that may be mind controlled and not know it, and the things that they can do are truly just heinous. And I think we need to start telling them a few of the facts. So why don't you go ahead and give a little background?
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say that I don't think that the government is the only one doing this. And I hate to hear the term government.
It's
too large, too amorphous, too undefined. The government doesn't exist in the sense that we think of it. You know, there are always individuals, different agencies. Many of the people actually doing the mind control are damage control people who work for spin-offs of different agencies. And as far as government, yes, the FBI, yes, the CIA, yes, the National Security Agency and others, the Naval Office of Naval Research, Navy certainly has been a big player here. So if you, you know, consider those government, but anybody can be doing it. Someone from Wackenhut, who's, you know, told to keep something under the lid because it's going to cost somebody millions of dollars or, you know, bad PR or something, can be doing it as well. It's, you know, the government, nobody has an exclusive, you know, interest here. It's done in the sense of saving money and promoting different agendas, and it's pretty easy to do in our high-tech world.
Yes, and it's scary because so many of us, you know, are kind of the little people that don't really know what's going on, and that's why I've asked you to come on and kind of give people a heads up as to what's really happening, because I think a lot of people think that this is just, you know, hearsay, but you've had a lot of personal experience with this kind of stuff.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you something. If I had not had personal experience with it, I wouldn't believe it. There would be no way that you could convince me. The only thing that convinced me was personal experience. So it's, you know, I'm not from a technically knowledgeable background, at least I wasn't before, so I couldn't anticipate or really understand the technology until I saw it used on other people, and, you know, first of all,
Yeah, can you give us a few
background.
Examples?
One of the people that I knew who had a military background in signals was able to, and Special Forces was able to help me an awful lot in finding out more about it, getting victims into things like what's called an anechoic chamber, which is used in the manufacture of satellites for space, where signals to and from an object or person can be tracked. That was one of the things that was done to verify that this was actually happening. Another thing was a spectrum analyzer. And, you know, people came up with different megahertz readings depending on who was monitoring them. So people are being monitored for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, and what would some of those reasons be?
One of the reasons would be if someone was an agent of the government, they would need to be tracked so that they could be used at all times in case of emergency or different projects. Most of these people would be working undercover. Some of them would know it and some of them wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Another reason would be if the person was considered high risk for revealing something that different organizations didn't want known. For example, one person was a whistleblower that I knew. Mm-hmm. She was an industrial engineer for a company, and she had realized that workers were being exposed to asbestos and that were dying of cancer, and this would have resulted in, you know, millions and millions of dollars of claims. So she was harassed very viciously, you know, those would be some of the reasons. Other reasons might be cult in nature, satanic ritual abuse. Others would have been the MK Ultra people who were used by the CIA at over 170 different universities for various experiments and who were later monitored. Some of them would have been politically unpopular people, you know, people who were thought to be radicals or at risk of, for changing things in America that they didn't want to have changed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, any number of different reasons. Some of them just might have been also psychics, who had been trained by different government organizations. They were also monitored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I live in a town of psychics, you know.
Pardon me?
I live in a town of psychics.
Well, we're not talking about, you know, purported psychics.
Yeah.
We're talking about trained remote viewers by the different agencies. And those people who were trained and who, you know, they were also could be very much at risk themselves to any abduction by any foreign countries or whatever. They could be subject to being murdered or disabled, and they would have to be monitored.
Mm-hmm.
And they would also have to keep an extremely low profile, whatever they did. I know several instances like this. But some of these people were just useful idiots, as the old term used to go.
So kind of like sleepers.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So they're only activated
around,
when the agency
purposes, etc. Yeah.
So why don't you go a little bit into MKUltra? What you told me about that and about the congressional hearings was just really awful about how they experimented on the children and things.
Okay, everybody should look up MKUltra and the congressional hearings about it. And I had alluded to the 170 universities that were used in for a variety of experiments and projects, which were ongoing. They weren't. Some of them were radiation and so forth. The only thing that MK Ultra ever became known for in the public eye, if known at all, was for the LSD experiments, which were very stupidly and naively described as somebody putting LSD in the drinking water of an unknown person. It was much more complicated and sophisticated than that, actually. So it's not. This is just a teeny tiny part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of MK Ultra was implanting foreign students at American universities so that they could be used later in their own countries. Others were to compartmentalize the brain. This started in 1955. To keep a person as an undercover agent without them knowing themselves that they're an undercover agent. So if they were ever captured and tortured, they could never reveal, you know, things that they needed to keep a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And so it covered a vast array of things, enhancing personal abilities, ESP, all sorts of things. They were testing people to see whether somebody, a straight person, could be manipulated into becoming a homosexual, and if a homosexual could be changed into a heterosexual. And incidentally, I heard that it is easier to turn a heterosexual into a homosexual than it is to turn a homosexual into a heterosexual. And that was one of the findings there. But this was very, very nasty stuff if you happen to be the person that was experimented on. And some of the people who were experimented on were high-profile people at the different campuses like Yale, Columbia, Mm-hmm. Especially the Finger Lakes University were among the ones like the sort of like middle class teachers college crowd, that mm-hmm. type of, they were very heavily experimented on as well. And, you know, if you were a high profile student, say like homecoming queen or somebody like that, these people were often selected because they were felt to be charismatic, useful people that they might want to use in the future.
Boy. And then the little kids, you were telling me about how
there
were...
Oh, yes. Under Clinton, there was even a congressional hearing called U.S. Government Mind-Controlled Experiments on Children. The transcript was published under that title by John Rappaport. And these were a closed session of Congress, which dealt with people who had been experimented on via radiation since childhood. And there was a lot done in this country concerning radiation experiments that have not reached the public eye, in which many, many people died. And the reason that I'm speaking out today is because of the people that I know who died or committed suicide as a result of projects like this, very, very tragically. And as I say, absolutely almost imaginable to me. I mean, I can hardly imagine that this is true, but I've seen it with my own eyes. I've heard the stories. It's, you know, it's beyond the pale of my conception of what happens in a, you know, democracy.
Yeah, exactly. To have all these people experimented on without their consent, and you know, we know that this happens all the time. In fact, that's one of the big problems with medicine in our country. You know, they'll just go and infect a population just to see how it's going to react. And you know, certainly I've seen plenty of that, you know, in the medical field, you know, that have been government projects and things like that. And I'm using the generic government. It's like anybody that's in authority, basically. And one of the things that I wanted you to impart to the listeners, too, since we have you such a short time, is how would one know if they have been a subject of this mind control stuff?
Well, one of the whistleblowers here was a therapist now deceased by the name of Valerie Wolf, W-O-O-L-F. And if anybody looks this up on the internet, she discovered that people had certain codes. And asking some of her colleagues for help, like, had you ever heard of anything like this before, she discovered that therapists all over the U.S. were coming up with people who had the same codes and the same experiences. As a matter of fact, she was able to locate 60 therapists, this was the beginning, who could verify completely independently of her that they had had codes. And so programming, compartmentalization of the brain, a lot of experimentation went on. Now mm-hmm. today, this is much easier to do with nanotechnology and radio frequency ID tags, which are not detectable to the human eye and which can be placed anywhere on a person's body, inside their body, or on their person, enabling them to be tracked wherever they go. And I tried to write a book. As a matter of fact, I finished it. I was trying to get it published, describing some of the advanced uses of technology like this, which utilizes moving fields to communicate with the subject. In other words, running water, like the pipes in the bathroom, an airplane flying overhead, a car's engine, I mean, and the psychological technology of turning somebody around, of getting them to embrace a different ideology of psychological sabotage is extremely advanced. And as I was telling Valerie before, nobody, I don't care what their spiritual inclination or belief is immune to this. I think you wake up when you realize that anybody can be broken. It's very difficult to resist a system that transcends your psychological parameters. In other words, is more intelligent and more knowledgeable than you are. You know, and that's what some of this stuff is. So I have an idea on how prisoners of war may be broken down and changed. And we only hear about the resistors and so forth. We don't hear about a lot of things, so that we think that we know what's going on, and we don't, in fact,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, and the opinion of other people as well.
Yeah, and I did look up that reference on the web. And listeners, it really is a congressional hearing. And the thing that's interesting to note is that several of the people, I think, that were involved in that hearing actually did end up dead by mysterious circumstances, right?
Yes. The U.S. government mind control experiments on children, which Clinton had behind closed doors, and which members of the Congress actually applauded the people who testified, who had themselves been experimented on. One of them was shot inexplicably afterwards. She did survive, but she's no longer a public figure here. And Valerie Wolf, the therapist and whistleblower, she died of a very rapidly spreading cancer. So I happened to meet her at a conference on professional accreditation at the time when she was speaking out about this, and it was, to many other therapists, completely amazing at the time that this took place. But like many people, something happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you become an activist, things happen to you too. You know, like your car breaks down just as you're about to go to a radio station. Your phone at home is blocked. You get tortured. I mean, all sorts of unbelievable stuff happen. Believe me, there's a big industry in shutting people up whom they wish to shut up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm quite aware that they can torture you from a distance with these devices.
Absolutely.
And, you know, because they can access the nervous system and you'd never even know it. You just think that your whole body went crazy all of a sudden.
Not just that. They can cause extremely severe pain. Pain so severe that you would pass out in a couple of seconds,
mm-hmm.
especially if the pain hits a bone, like your kneecap or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they can program you during your sleep, and if that doesn't work, you know, there's other ways. It's very frightening. And the terrible thing is that I don't really like this method of just speaking out on the phone, because what the next step is, what can people do against it?
Exactly. What can we do?
I have been to the FBI. I have written letters to the CIA. I have written to my congressman. I have written to the Senate Intelligence Committee. I've written to the Secretary of State. I have sent UPSs to the president. I have had proof, you know, and it's very difficult to do anything about that. People really need to get organized, and not in any paranoid manner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, believing in aliens doing this, many of the cover stories that are out there floating around, but they need to go about it in a very rational, pragmatic manner that requires a lot of groundwork, a lot of follow through, and realize it's not easy. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not easy getting published on this area. But there's a woman professor, the University of Ohio, who exposed the radiation experimentation on patients in the hospital. She was a sociology professor who didn't believe that this was taking place, and she decided to investigate to dispel the rumor. And when she found out that people were actually murdered, you know, and died in torture, having been exposed to very heavy doses of radiation, often died within a week, she couldn't get her, even though she was a fully tenured professor, she couldn't get her book published. She finally got it published by Duke University Press. But I spoke to her about that and asked her, how did you manage? She said every New York City literary agency turned it down, and no publisher in New York would take it. And at the time that I spoke to her, she was going blind, by the way.
Mm.
So, you know, one of those.
Yeah, very suspicious stuff.
Well, you just wonder, can it all be coincidence? You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've certainly had a lot of things in my life that were weird. So I, you know, my ears pricked up when you first started talking to me about this stuff, because I've had many experiences, and I live in the town of Woo-Woos. And so we've had a lot of people who have seen aliens or had alien experiences. And, you know, I'm not discounting the alien thing, because I know that does exist too, because I've been in contact with too many people who have actually been in the underground bases and all that kind of stuff, you know, scientists and stuff, people who worked there. But what interested me, too, was you were telling me that a lot of the times when people think that they're being abducted by the Greys, they're not actually, or they think that they've seen a reptilian. What they're actually responding to is, wasn't it a chip or something in the,
yes,
in the eye?
Yes, and that's also a chip, and that's a screen memory, and the technology exists just like it does in Photoshop to edit what you're seeing. If you have a retinal chip, a little teeny tiny thing on your retina, you can see something different. They can superimpose a different image over what you're seeing so that a person could be talking to you and you see that an alien is talking to you, or you hear it telepathically. I personally don't give any credence to alien stories. I think they're just a cover-up for illicit genetic and other research. And, years ago, I asked Whitley Strieber's secretary, who wrote Letters to Communion, if there was anything that they had found out about that might, you know, put another aspect to this. And I actually spoke to Whitley Strieber, and he spoke about MK Ultra too. As a matter of fact, he mentioned it at one of his meetings. But his secretary said to me that most of the abductees were of O negative blood type, believe it or not. That I found very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I wonder, there must be something in O negative blood that allows them to be utilized better.
Well, I don't think that's it. I think that somebody just wanted to have O negative blood in different types. O negative, I believe, is the universal donor.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So I don't know why that is the case, but that's something that she mentioned, and other people have mentioned it as well. There is a now deceased professor of medieval studies. What was her name? She was from Texas. I believe she was a professor at Baylor University. And she wrote several books on the alien experience. And she was the first one to do really good in-depth studies. And she also mentioned that Celtic American Indian blood types or bloodlines predominated. So, you know, she was saying things that Bud Hopkins at the time wasn't saying. They were much better interviews, and these interviews formed a pattern. And she later realized herself that she wasn't a victim of alien abduction since childhood, as she had thought, but she was actually a mind control victim. And whereupon she was another one. I can't remember her name. I think it begins with an E, but anybody can look this up, you know, and find out who she is. She wrote like two or three books, and she's known in the UFO community. And,
You see, I find this fascinating. As I told you, I had memories of, from the age of three, being abducted by the Greys, and you know, and didn't really think a whole lot about it until I read Whitley Strieber's book, and then freaked out.
Yes, well, I think that was, you know, that was a real deceptive scenario imposed upon the American public. And I think, you know, to cover some experiments or other things that they were doing, whether they were mapping the human genome, whether they were getting DNA or tracing humanity's path, who knows what they were doing. But
yeah, and I wonder quite a bit, too, because I've been in and out of the metaphysical community for most of my life, and I can't tell you how many people I know who have either had physical implants and had them removed and nobody could figure out what they were, or they've had what we call etheric implants, you know, in other levels of the being, and continue to have. And, you know, now we've got people that have little detectors that can run a detector over your body and tell you if you've got an actual physical implant, and other people, you know, with the sight who can tell you if you have an etheric one. So that's been really interesting, and my question has always been, what is this all about?
Well, I think it's about a lot of different things, just like there's different types of implants, different types of studies. You know, we have a country of, like, what is it, 300 million people. There's a lot of agendas going on, you know. So there are a lot of, you know, research tanks. There are, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's
pretty
scary.
So I don't think it's all just one agency. And, you know, radiation experimentation was very, very big. And radiation doesn't mean necessarily, Hiroshima, as mm-hmm. most people think of radiation. Radiation is basically vibration, and all the different organ systems in the human body are subject to some type of vibration.
Oh, yeah, it's all about frequency.
Yeah. It's also, it encompasses a lot of different projects. And now it's just much easier. You can buy some vitamins, and they might have a teeny tiny radio frequency ID tag inside the capsule, and then you can be tracked.
Whoa.
Just from a vitamin or just from anything. But it's pretty nasty because anybody can be doing it, and they can be tracking all sorts of people. And it's a great way of doing studies now without anybody knowing who's being studied. All they have to do is print some hype, and then people will buy this stuff, and then they can monitor them. It's a very easy way to do that.
That's really interesting, because I just saw something the other day, and I won't mention the brand, and we're almost done here. But I saw something, and my sixth sense went, I don't think so. I just kind of went, okay, they're telling you that you can increase your psychic potential and all this other stuff and increase your direction-finding capabilities. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, we are losing the magnetics on the Earth, and I know that when we have geomagnetic storms, I lose my sense of direction, and I normally have an excellent sense of direction. So what good would it do to be increasing that capability when you're likely to lose it anyway? So I kind of looked at that with suspicion and went, I don't know. I haven't asked anybody else about it. I just kind of went, ooh, I don't think I want to do that.
Right.
Interesting stuff, though.
Yeah, you have to be careful today because our mass media is pretty degenerate. As you could recently just see with this Anna Nicole thing where they're doing all of these publicity photo op stuff and trying to pretend it's a documentary of her life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and really all of the stations shamelessly doing the same thing.
Yep.
Just to get, viewers and so forth. And just, you could see people like, what's his name? He's got a Spanish name, Geraldo,
mm-hmm.
doing it. They're all doing it. They're all capitalizing on this. And the story is completely bogus that they're, presenting to people, all with photo, ops.
Oh, yeah, and they're trying to run down the companion
what
and all this stuff.
The posed photo is reality.
Mm-hmm.
So in any case, the interesting thing that I wanted to expose to the public, and I hope I'll have the chance in the future, is how the psychological warfare studies work. What the elements of vulnerability are that people, that they can focus on to break somebody down. It's far more sophisticated than anybody would think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's going to be a future
show. That would be a future show. I think we need to go into that, and we're done with the half hour now. So
okay.
I do want to thank you so much for coming.
All right, Valerie. I hope I'm not going to be harassed.
I hope you're not, too, and I'll tell you what. You call me and you let me know.
I will. Okay, take care.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Dawn, do we have Scotty on the line?
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. So welcome to the show, Scotty.
Oh, thank you.
For the listeners, if you haven't heard before, Scotty Little Star is a guest occasionally here when she has the time, and she is a professional psychic reader and a friend of mine. And so we have some interesting conversations here in Woo Woo Land. and one of the reasons why we had talked about having her on the show today is because when you present something that's as scary as what the last guest was talking about, I don't want to leave you in that state. That would be very irresponsible of me. So it's very important to me that the listeners have something now that's going to help them to feel better and to understand, okay, just know about this stuff, but don't freak out about it. Unless it's your thing to do. The previous guest, it was her thing to do. So please understand that, listeners. She has to expose it. That's her mission. The rest of us, we have other missions. And, so unless it's your mission to get involved with that and to really get out there and be the activist and stuff, you need to understand that there are people who will try to stop you. And, you need to go out there and do what's in your life's mission to do. So, to that end, now we're going to go on to something a little lighter and something that will help you to be able to get through the coming days. And you know, if there is mind control that's going to be enacted upon everybody, let's get beyond that. You know, my own feeling about it is that if you have done your homework and you've reached a certain stage and you know what's real and you can go beyond this vibration, then you've got a chance. And I'm hoping that I'm far enough beyond that. I don't know. You know, we may find out. So Scotty, go ahead and first of all, let's talk to people about what's going to be happening on the 14th.
Oh, yes. I've been getting messages from this on many, many of my emails, as many of my friends have, and they're calling it World Healing Sound Day, or it's just a healing sound that everybody can participate in. It's the fifth year in a row that they have done this World Sound Healing Day. So it's happening tomorrow on February 14th, and they're calling this the Sound Heard Around the World, and this can be done any time within a 24-hour period on the planet. And what it's going to do is going to create a coherent waveform that will actually affect the entire Earth. And so anytime you feel guided to do this ah sound, and that's what this sound is, it's just an ah. And if anyone wants more information, they can go to a website actually called www.healingsounds.com, healingsounds.com. And Jonathan Goldman's actually the one that has started this. He's with the Sound Healers Association. So there's going to be thousands of people throughout the whole planet toning this ah sound for 5 minutes during the day. So anytime anyone feels like doing this tomorrow, they say it's about 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which I guess would be 7 p.m. in our area in Arizona, but it really doesn't make any difference. It's just to help project peace throughout the planet.
Yeah, and the ah sound is said to be the sound of God the Father.
Mm.
And I think it was Dr. Wayne Dyer that mentioned that. He had a CD out. Gosh, the name escapes me right now. But he was talking about the space between the words and the space between the letters. And as an example, he did Our Father. And he did that prayer extremely slowly as a meditation. And just really lengthened the ah sound. Mm-hmm. And then there's a Hawaiian tradition also. And like when you say aloha, you say aloha.
Hmm.
And you just really extend that ah sound. And it's all to bring you into a closer vibration with the creative force.
You know, we've done a lot of experiments like this on the Coast to Coast radio show with Art Bell and George Norrie, and they literally changed the direction of a hurricane or tornado storm that was heading towards Florida.
And that makes sense, too, because Fred Bell talks about how mm-hmm. the reason that those hurricanes hit and did so much damage that one year was because of the collective consciousness of the planet and of all the people that are in terrible chaos and in fear. And he said if everybody would just get with the program, you know, and get rid of the fear, that we wouldn't have these tremendous storms.
You know, that's so true. That was another thing I really wanted to talk about tonight, was the fact that we are moving into what some have called an inner pole shift. As humans experience the energy of change within themselves, because the Earth itself is manifesting brand new multidimensional grids. So everybody is feeling strange and like they're dizzy or out of their bodies once in a while. I remember you and I talked in the last 2 weeks. Almost everyone I talked to that was sensitive or aware felt the waves of energy going through their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked, you know, with a lot of different people. You know, even during my psychic message circle, I had four people at that two Saturday nights ago, and all four of them felt it. And what was interesting is that those who are maybe holding on to their old way of life. One girl was a smoker, and she lived out in Tucson, and she she told us that she was in the shower when it happened, and she literally got nauseated and felt like she was going to pass out.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's going on is it's a very, very high, fast, vibrational energy. And we know it is the Christ vibrational energy that's sweeping onto the planet and helping us towards becoming whole new beings. But if someone's hanging out in lower negative dimensional energies, such as smoking or drugs or alcohol, or if they're just their thought forms are always running towards the negative,
mm-hmm.
that energy itself, and that's all it really is, there's no judgment here, the energy is slower. It's very sluggish and mm-hmm. dense and low. So when you have this high, fast, light vibration coming in, it doesn't mix very well with that. And
mm-hmm.
whether people realize it or not, our bodies literally have already moved into the higher dimensions, into fifth dimension. But our brains are still creating the same old way that we're used to. We're not used to thinking differently. We're solving our problems or creating what we think is what we want in the future, or you know, just to create like new
mm-hmm.
jobs, new relationships. We're still creating in third dimension.
Oh yeah,
and I
know
work.
I have a hard time with that because I'm around people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go off by myself, magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when I'm sitting here in the office and I have people coming in all day and you know, different things and having to answer the phone and you know, all the usual stuff, it's very hard for me to create in the new way.
And for those that haven't heard of the secret yet, too, I taped the Oprah Winfrey Show the other day. I saw the movie The Secret over Thanksgiving, and then Oprah Winfrey had several of the teachers from The Secret on her show.
Mm-hmm.
And I taped it, and I just watched it last night with a girlfriend of mine. And even though there's all these things that I've known for years that it all boils down to thought, and it's, you know, what we focus on, we bring to ourselves. What we think about, we're actually creating.
Mm-hmm.
What we're giving our mind to, we're putting an order into the universe. This is what Lisa, one of the teachers, has said.
Mm-hmm.
I think that because it's so important, and this is why we're hearing it in so many different formats, whether it's on the radio or on TV or in books or DVDs, that if anybody has a chance to get the DVD or even buy the book, The Secret, it may be what's supposed to wake them up.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's been out in many other books and other movies that's come out, one that I recommend a lot to people is the writings of Florence Scovel Shinn. As a matter of fact, I recommend that off and on to some of my clients if it happens to come up in their reading, because it can change them all on all levels. But they have to start taking responsibility and controlling their thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it's a time of choice.
Yeah.
In fact, I've even mentioned to people that, you know, make a big sign for yourself and put it up on the refrigerator and just put choose differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because how else are we going to move into new thinking and new ways of doing things unless we choose to do it differently? We keep doing it the same old way, we're going to get old results, or they're just not going to work in this new vibration.
Sure, and I very much agree with that. And, well, you know, I'm really interested in quantum physics of things. And it sounds like we have a caller, so let me hold my thought. Welcome, caller.
Hello.
Hello there.
I'm enjoying listening to you ladies this evening.
Is this this Gail?
Hello?
I'm sorry. Oh. Go ahead.
Yes. I wanted to ask you guys, you were talking about one woman you were sharing her experience about cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
I had the exact same thing happen to me last week.
Ah.
And I started getting really nauseated. Even Synegrin would not take this nausea away. Only thing I could do was lay out flat on the couch. And I have been a heavy smoker for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked away from them when we could go today, cold turkey, nothing.
Congratulations.
I've not had another cigarette since.
Oh, very cool.
That is so wonderful. But see, that is your God, Goddess self. Your
I have no desire
self.
For one.
Trying to emerge.
They're repulsive.
Yeah.
After 35 years, I'm not, no patch, no nothing.
And a way that a lot of other people can actually notice the shift or the change in themselves is that foods they've been eating all their lives, suddenly it affects them differently.
Mm-hmm.
And your sleep state, too. How has your sleep state been?
How's what?
You're sleeping.
Well, I'm starting to sleep better. I've went through a period here for 3 or 4 years now where I could only sleep a couple hours at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll notice that whenever we're doing things that are what I call against our God self, see, whenever something doesn't feel good, it can just be a sound like, ugh, in the body, or we're just feeling it without the sound. That's against your God, Goddess self. And everybody's Christ self is trying to emerge right now. That's your best, happiest, highest self ever, not in just this lifetime, in any lifetime. And so people are going to feel it on all different levels, whether unfortunately it might be in their relationships, it could be their job, it could be their habits or addictions. Everyone's going to be feeling this. And if they don't follow through with what they're feeling, it's going to get stronger and stronger. It's going to make them physically ill. This is why when you felt that wave of energy, it probably almost knocked you off your feet.
It did, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And now, since, you know, the nicotine's gone, because they say the first 3 days after that, the nicotine's gone. Now it's like I have to be careful even driving down the road. I'm so peaceful I can just go to sleep. I mean, I really have to fight to stay awake.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
All right, dear. I just thought it was interesting you guys were bringing up the cigarette thing, and I thought, I have to share this. It's phenomenal.
Well, it happened about a week to 2 weeks ago. And throughout the week, on a couple of different days, that people that I'm a full-time spiritual psychic in Sedona, and so of course I associate with a lot of other psychics and a lot of other people that are very, you know, that do their spiritual work. And every single person I talked to, even if they didn't remember it when we asked about it, because it was so quick for us, it just like blew through, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I noticed it, too. I was down in Tucson. I thought it was just because I hadn't eaten anything. And then when I ate, then I walked out to the car and went, whoa. You know, but it just kind of went right through me really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely feel it. It got your attention.
Yeah.
Okay.
It definitely had mine.
Well, you're going to start feeling a lot better and a lot more empowered now that you've given up the cigarettes. And
yes.
Just, you
I
know,
feel
make
totally
sure that if
now.
You start feeling that energy about, you know, the habit being around other people or whatever they're smoking, that you somehow focus on something else.
Uh-huh.
Focus on seeing yourself healthy, being able to breathe in really big, you know, gulps of air, you know, just really clear up your whole body.
Yeah.
See yourself healthy.
I know that's going to take a little time because of so many years of abusing it.
Well, your lungs will actually heal fairly quick.
Oh, yeah.
That's
what
they say.
They can heal very, very quick.
On your thought forms.
Yeah, so just see yourself better.
Yes.
And then that'll happen a lot quicker. See, that's the new thing. We have to go into this new age with the knowledge that we have on the quantum states. And what we have found out is that thoughts are things. And thoughts do create,
they create absolutely.
Our entire life.
Yes.
And this is why the mind control thing was so important. Because if you're having thoughts that are stopping you from doing things, are they your thoughts or are they thoughts that are put into you
right.
by whoever's monitoring you?
Right.
In order to keep you from being your full potential self.
Yeah.
So this is where it gets really kind of sticky and where people have to really steadfastly, you know, hold on to their highest self, which is way beyond this third dimensional crap, you know, and is way out there in something we can't even imagine at the moment. But that higher self is your lifeline, you know, that's what saves you from everything.
I'm sorry, what was the caller's name?
Gail.
Gail. So have you seen The Secret?
Have I seen what?
The movie, the DVD, Many The
times.
Secret? Or get the book. Either read the book or get the DVD,
oh,
The
I've
Secret.
I've seen the movie many times.
Okay, you have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's excellent. So, see, it's just time for you. You're totally on your way.
Well, I already have a little vision board that I have, and I can tell you whatever I want to make for the month I put up there, that's what I make.
Oh,
there's something I want to do or get done. I put it up there. I read it every morning. It gets done.
Yep.
Because I go back and I check it every 30 days.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can create.
Well, so even a lot of people in the spiritual realm that do this kind of work, you know, readings or healings or whatever, you know, it's time to live our truth. I had my own mentor actually ask me this one time years ago. She said, are you living your truth? You know, do you do your truth? And I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? And she goes, are you doing what you tell everybody else to do that helps them live their lives better?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh.
Reality check time.
So it's time to be in our truth.
Yes. I'm having a hard time listening to you guys because I have inner ear right now, so I'm going to listen to you off the phone.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Gail. It's always great to talk with you. Yeah, Gail and I talked last week. She was on the show, and then she called me the next day, so we had a long conversation. And, you know, listeners, I have to tell you, I really enjoy hearing from you guys. I enjoy that people are really striving to be who they really are. That's so important to me, I can't even begin to tell you how important it is.
And not to get caught up in the negative either, because I've been noticing, like last night, I had a couple of people call me that one was actually feeling anxiety attacks and everything, and I told her to contact my mentor so that she could talk her and tell her what to do, because at first I said, you know, if you're really having an anxiety attack and you can't breathe like you say, you should be calling 911, not a psychic. And I'm serious. So I gave her my mentor, who is free to talk to, and so she called her, and my mentor told her to put her face or her head in a cold bowl of water, and she called me back, and she says, oh, I can't do that. And I said, why? She goes, well, because I'll feel like I can't breathe again. You know, see, it's like people are wanting to focus on these crazy thoughts, and it makes them even crazier. You're going to see a lot of that.
Oh, I've seen this. I just wrote 3 articles on this craziness, and I'm waiting to see if they get accepted by this one site. But basically, it's like, you know, I see this stuff going on, and I feel the energy. I mean, last week, I can tell you that I woke up feeling depressed and angry, and I went, oh, that is not me.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that wasn't me because I know me really well. You know, I've done my homework. And so I went to a friend of mine who specializes in taking mucky stuff off of you that's gotten onto you from different things, whether you want to call it mind control or whether it's, you know, a ghost or whether it's ETs or whatever the hell it is. I don't care what it is. I want it off. So I went to see this friend, and so he worked on me and got all this stuff off. And I felt completely different by the time I walked out of his office. And, you know, I mean, thank God we live in a community of healers that realize there's more than what meets the eye when it comes to this life here. And, you know, the important point of this is I knew it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you listeners is, how well do you know what's you and what isn't you? Because if you don't know, then that's when you get anxiety attacks and things, because there's waves of anxiety that get sent out by whoever, you know. It could be mind control, it could be that you're feeling, you know, people's panic when tornado hits or whatever, but it's all on the planet and we are all entangled. And so you're going to feel this stuff. So the important thing is to figure out where it's coming from, you know, you or not you. And if it's you, you deal with it in the best way that you can. If it's not you, you go dump it. You know, go find somebody that can help you or get into a meditative position and, you know, and bring the light within so that you stop feeling that. That's what's really important.
You know, there's a really great breathing technique, if you have a moment that I can tell it on the air.
Sure, go ahead.
Because a lot of people just really don't know how to stop the monkey mind or the crazy thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone will follow along and do this every single day, it literally can change their life.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you breathe in through your nose and out your mouth a couple of times. You're sitting in a chair that's comfortable. The third time you breathe in through your nose and out your mouth, ask Archangel Michael to bring down the golden dome, that's D-O-M-E, the golden dome of protection around you. Breathe in through your nose and out your mouth a couple of more times. And then the third time you breathe in through your nose and out your mouth, as you're breathing out your mouth, visualize breathing out your toes. You breathe in through your nose. As you breathe out, visualize breathing out the bottoms of your feet. Breathe out the tops of your feet. You breathe out your heels, your ankles, your shins. Now, what's going to happen is, because of the monkey mind, people are going to go into what I call scenarios. They're going to be thinking about what happened during the day or something they've got to do tomorrow or just something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Realize the minute you're in a scenario and bring your attention back to your breath work and breathe into your nose and out your mouth twice. And the third time you breathe into your nose, as you're breathing out your mouth, start where you left off. Start at the shin. Breathe out your calves, breathe out your knees, breathe out your thighs, and just keep working all the way up your body. Go up your back, go up your stomach, up through the lungs, up to the heart, go up your hands, up your arms, to the shoulders. And every single time you realize that you've gone into a scenario, breathe in through your nose and out your mouth twice. And the third time you breathe into your nose and out your mouth, breathe out wherever you left off. And just keep working until you can go all the way up to your face, to your jaw, your cheeks, your third eye, right on out the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're done with that, you know, that's it. And people are going to find out if they do this, it might take them 40 minutes or so to do it the first time because of all the scenarios they run into.
Sure.
But if they continue to do it, it'll clear out their mind, it'll clear out the crazy energies around them, and they'll do it within 5 or 10 minutes with little or no scenarios at all.
Well, and then the other thing, too, is the breath's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this is what the remote viewers that work for the government do. If another remote viewer taps into them and they feel it, they'll start doing a breath. They do the breath of fire in order to try to knock that remote viewer out of their sphere so that they can't watch them. But in the meantime, you're disabling that remote viewer. So.
Can you describe that breath of fire? I've heard of that before.
Yeah, it's where you do it really fast. You know, it's kind of what you're doing is hyperoxygenating, and you're actually opening up another area of your brain when you do that. But it's not the kind of hyperoxygenation where you pass out. You know, the hyperventilation where we used to do as kids,
right,
know, for fun. This goes beyond that. You don't pass out. You just actually hyperoxygenate.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they'll do. And we just have a few more minutes left, so I want to say thank you, Scotty, for being on the show. And we'll have you on another time when you can have the whole hour and listeners can call in with some questions for you. And in the meantime, I want to do a little shameless advertising here because I finally finished bottling the Archangel tinctures that I have. So people, if you're interested, please go to my website, www.drvalerienmd.com. And go on the product page, and you will see Enlightened Soul Elixirs. And I have a set of four that you can get, or you can get them separately. I prayed to the Archangels. I was in the quantum room. I asked for the recipe. The recipe came. I put it together, and it works instantly with everybody. And what I do is I tell people, when you get this, sit down. You have to be in a quiet space so you can feel what's happening, because it's a very subtle energy. But you take some under the tongue and just feel what happens. So far, every person that has tested this has come up with the exact same words that I used to create the tinctures. It's very interesting stuff. So anyway, if you're interested, you can go to my website on the products page, and you can purchase online there. If you're listening from an international place, you would need to call the office so we can figure out you know, how to do the shipping and all that stuff. But anyway, that's on there. The website is pretty much done now, other than the Pyridyne products. So you can go ahead and get on there, and you can get onto the enlightennews.com newsletter, and I send that out more or less about every 4 or 5 weeks. We have some freebies on there, things that you can download. You can also get Misara's CD that I use for my intro and exit music that is called Awaken the Dream, and there'll be a lot of things added there here and there as we go along, articles and things like that. I am also doing a broadcast on Monday evenings from 6 to 6:15, which is a quantum slimming class. If you're interested in that, please drop me a line. I'll give you the details. And it's working. We're using frequencies, and I decided to practice that on myself because the only way I would do it is if I was doing it for other people. So it's working. And you know, it's pretty interesting stuff. It shakes up your fat cells, and what it is it's tuning forks and a Moldavite singing bowl and Fred Bell's music in the background, and we're using specific things to make the fat cells disgorge their fat and to correct your DNA and, you know, quite a few other things. So we're doing the frequency jive on this. So it's a lot of fun. Anyway, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And tune in again next week, and we'll have somebody interesting on. I'm kind of going through the people in Sedona because we have such talent here. So I'm not quite sure who I'm going to have on next week yet, but I'll try to get it up on the BBS site as soon as I can. And until then, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Thanks for listening. Nighty night.
Dr. Valerie.